This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry on this Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. It is important for us to look at Jesus' suffering and death in order that we can truly appreciate his resurrection. Please stay with us today as we review the events of this very important week in the Christian faith and what it means for us.
This is Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. Today we're going to center our thoughts on Jesus' suffering and death as a payment for the sins of the world. We hope you will stay tuned. We open our service with a word of prayer. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, truly make this a holy week for us. And help us, O God, to understand the tremendous suffering that our Lord went through. How as he went into the temple and proclaimed that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, there was a plot that he must be killed. So, Lord Jesus, as we center our thoughts on that suffering, grant that we may understand more and more how much you loved us. Amen.
Friends in Christ,
This is the first day of Holy Week. This is Palm Sunday. And this is the time that I would like to talk with you about the suffering and death of Jesus for the sins of the world. It shows how much God truly loves us, that He not only sent His Son, but He truly sent Him to die. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. The first part of the week, Jesus spent pretty much in the temple. There you see Him telling the scribes and the Pharisees and others who wanted to come and listen that He was the Son of God, that He was the Savior of the world. And when they heard those remarks, they decided, we must put this man to death. And we do not have the power to do it. So eventually he has to go to Pilate's court and then on to Calvary's hill for the crucifixion. See how it works out. As they had proclaimed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and the plot was being made to how he should be killed, Jesus went with his 12 disciples to the Passover, to eat the Passover meal on Calvary, on the Mount of Olives. And there he was with his disciples. And after he has visited with them about the days that are ahead, he says to them, I am now going to give you the Lord's Supper. And there he institutes the Lord's Supper, where he takes the bread and he takes the wine and blesses it and breaks it and gave it to them, saying, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. It was through that bread and that wine that, in a way we do not understand, Jesus Christ imparts himself to us. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament. It's a holy act that is instituted by Jesus Christ, where a visible means, the bread and the wine, are used to convey a spiritual blessing. It is true, it is also done in remembrance of what he had to go through in that suffering for you and for me. In that time there, he had also said that one of the disciples, primarily Judas, was going to betray him. And finally, when Judas says, is it I, Lord? He said, go and do what you have to do. And then Judas leaves the crowd. But Jesus goes with his disciples, 11 of them now, out to the Mount of Olives. And then he goes down into the Garden of Gethsemane. There he takes Peter, James, and John into the inner garden while he prays. He prays, Father, if it is possible, let this cup be withdrawn from me. In other words, he was a human being. If it is possible, may I escape this suffering. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. And each time he went into that inner garden three times and came back, and he found his disciples, Peter, James, and John, sleeping. So as they stood there in the garden, Judas came along. He had been out to collect his 30 pieces of silver. And here he is with a group of the enemy, with their clubs and all of the rest. And he finally says, what is it that you want, Judas? For Judas stood by him and had said that the person that I kiss, he is Jesus. And so as he planted a kiss on Jesus' face, our Lord looked at him and said, do what you have to do. And so as soon as he kissed Jesus, the men came and arrested him. Then the men stepped forward and said, you are the one we want. And he made a deal with the priest that the one that was going to be the Savior of the world stood in their midst. This was a tremendous blow. This was an awful suffering for our Lord Jesus Christ. For 3 years he had taught Judas that he was counting on him to be one of the leaders who would bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. But that was not the Messiah that Judas wanted. So if he could get 30 pieces of silver for him, that was better than nothing. Far less than he wanted to have, but it was nothing. And so he had received his 30 pieces of silver, and they had received the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they start on their way to have Jesus crucified by having him first found guilty by Pontius Pilate. Then seizing Jesus, it says, they took him to the house of the high priest, and Jesus followed. When they had kindled a fire, a servant girl recognized Peter and said, this man was with Jesus, and they pointed to Peter. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. Then he went along for a little while. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, man, I don't even know him. And at that time, Jesus walked by, and he looked into the face of Peter. And then, as Jesus had prophesied, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter knew he had denied his Lord. The Bible tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. But Jesus stood there with the group. You may ask the question, why did Peter deny him? This was another serious jolt. He was the one who was supposed to stay with Jesus when all the rest had gone. Why? Why then with that warning did he deny him? And about the only thing that I can say is that we have lived with him for many years. Why do we deny him? I have lived with him consciously or unconsciously for 88 years. And why do I, by my silence, sometimes deny him? Why do some in the church sometimes deny him? In order that culture can be more apt to receive parts of the gospel? Why we deny him is an individual matter, but all of us do. And so with that denial, Jesus is led on to Pilate's court. And when they got there, Pilate tried to argue with him a little bit and said, oh, this is a religious matter, and I have enough to take care of as far as the politics are concerned. So you take care of him yourself. And they said, but Pilate, if you don't take care of this man, you are not a friend of Caesar, and we will report you. Well, now Pilate wanted to take a look at this, so he took the Lord Jesus into his house. And he said to him, why do they want to kill you? And Jesus said, I say that I am the Son of God, and that's not what they want to hear. And Pilate said, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, you have answered well. Yes, I am. He came back out the third time. And finally, he said to the people, I have no justification in putting this man to death. And then, once again, they threatened that he was not a friend of Caesar. Pilate's wife had warned him to stay out of this mess. But fearing what they might say to Caesar, he finally gave approval, and he handed him over to the crowd. There are some terrific passages of Scripture when you come to that. When the crowd got a hold of him, they pounded him, they spit at him, and then it was on to Calvary. Let me remind you of what he was doing. He was carrying his own cross. And finally, he was so weak he collapsed, and they had someone help him. When they got him to the top of the hill, there they nailed that body to the tree, to the cross. Just imagine the pain when you took those hands and you put a nail through them and then into the wood. Look at the pain that he had when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is not that Jesus is weakening. He is still the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But it is because at that particular time, all of the sins of the world were laid upon him, including yours and mine that were to come a couple of thousand years later, and others beyond that, and others before that. The sins of the world were upon him. And then Jesus, it says here, from the sixth hour on, there was darkness over all of the earth from noon until 3 o'clock. And it was at that time that Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The sins of the world were upon him. God the Father could have nothing to do with God the Son when there were sins on him. They were not Jesus' sins, they were our sins. When some of them standing by heard this, they said, he's calling for Elijah. And about that time, Jesus needed something to drink. They couldn't even give him a good, clear glass of water. They took a mop, and they put that mop into vinegar. And then they put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. That was the last that he had. And then they said, now let's leave him alone and see if Elijah comes. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, only 3 hours, but what a torturous time it was. He suffered and he died. For you and for me. There's a lot to be said there. You can say this was a Palm Sunday for that particular day when it was actually carried out. But every day Jesus relives Palm Sunday. Every day he realizes the price that he has paid for the sins of the world. They were done once, and that's enough. Those acts don't have to be repeated. And because of that suffering and death, God has and will forgive all people who confess their sins and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior of the world. That is the important part to remember, friend. For if we turn our backs on him, then we are doing exactly what Judas and Peter did. And probably all of the disciples, they scattered. John went away. Finally, after his resurrection on that third day, Jesus was with them for a little while. For a little while. But that is a suffering that he has. Now, when we reduce Jesus to nothing more than a great teacher, and we overlook this suffering, and then finally that glorious resurrection that we will celebrate next Sunday on Easter, when we omit those, or when we call those secondary, when they are the very center of all of his coming, then we have denied him. Then we have sold him to a society who says, oh, let us only consider him a great teacher, and then all will believe. For after all, everybody is going to be saved, aren't they? No, according to Jesus, they are not. For it is he, the resurrected Lord, who says, no one comes to the Father but by me. This is an important day, my friend, for us to look at the suffering and the death in order that we may rejoice in the resurrection. Amen.
And best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I laid on. Attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary.
So
exchange. it someday for a bride.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you have so loved us that you sent your Son to endure this terrible punishment. Help us to understand why you came, Jesus. And let's not ever settle for a secondary reason. Of course we know and acknowledge and give praise to you this day, that you are the world's greatest teacher, that you are the one who has revealed to us our redemptive God. But the very core of our Christian faith, help us to understand that you suffered and died in our place that we might be forgiven. God, we pray that there could be in our churches today a tremendous awakening. And that this would not just be another routine that we go through as we enter into this Holy Week, but, O God, that it may be a place where our hearts are warm and our spirits are really found anxious to go out and be that witness that He needs. Bless those who are sick and those for whom death draws nigh. Grant in a very special way that with limited strength they may be given the grace to lay hold of Jesus and know him as the Lamb of God who will bring them home to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped strengthen your faith in Jesus as the one who forgives all those who confess their sins and trust in him as their Savior. Christian Crusaders currently broadcasts on 23 radio stations in 11 states and shortwave across North America and Europe. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. We invite you, our listening audience, to share in the mission of this ministry with your prayers and financial gifts. Please address your gifts and prayer concerns to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders is available to be read or heard on the internet, where you can find today's message along with the messages of many past sermons. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's message are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and whether we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Connecting our service was our radio speaker, Reverend Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.